Welcome to Women in Politics, recorded here in the studios of WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio.
I'm Carol Wilson.
And I'm Chelsea Higgs-Wise,
your host.
Women in Politics. It's a platform to bring women together to talk about their engagement in politics, what's important to them, and what they want our representatives and delegates to hear. And on today's show, we have Dr. Amy Rector, professor in anthropology from VCU. We have Shonda Harris-Muhammad from the Northside Coalition for Children. And we have Portia Foster, special ed teacher and a member of the Young Dems. Thanks for coming on board to
Thank
talk with me and
us.
Chelsea.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And Chelsea's going to, I think, do a bigger intro of your backgrounds for a minute before we get started.
I want to do something a little different on today's show and talk about the women that we have on this panel and how accomplished that they are. Speaking of Miss Portia, what we already said that she is an educator. She also is an advocate, an activist, a qualified mental health professional. She's an actress. Portia is part of the Richmond Education Association board member, a National Education Association board member, or National Education Association member, excuse me, Richmond Crusade for Voters, Young Dems member, 2017 Norris Neal Culturally Responsive Award recipient, Bryant Education Leadership Group Community Outreach Liaison Facilitator, Fostering Visions Founder, and American Panel board member. Shout out to Miss Portia Foster on everything she does, and the Master of Divinity over there, Miss Minister Portia Foster. Thank you so much for being here, Portia.
Thank you so much. I'm just a regular person, just trying to give my gifts out to the world like everybody else is.
Oh, she's being so humble. Well, speaking of just giving out gifts, I want to really talk about Dr. Amy Rector. Amy is a project manager and soon-to-be permit holder for the LEDI. Girl, help me with this word.
Lady Gararu.
There you go. Project in Ethiopia, where we look for and study fossils of our ancestors. She's one of just a handful of women that permit holders for paleoanthropology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. In East Africa, Dr. Rector also takes students to South Africa every summer and won a VCU Teaching Excellence Award just a few years ago. She is 7 years into her teaching career at VCU, and she is the only female anthropology faculty member at there. Yes. Snaps and applause all around.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Rector. And last but not least, by any means, we have Ms. Shonda Harris-Muhammad. She is an educator of 13 years, assistant.
24.
Ooh, sorry?
24 years.
24. Where did I get 13? I don't know. I wrote that wrong. 24 years. Let the record stand. 24 years. Assistant principal, math teacher, math specialist, test coordinator, summer school principal, compliance specialist. She's had the opportunity to work in D.C. and North Carolina school districts. She's a new member of WELV Women Educator Leaders in Virginia and serves as the WELV ambassador for Prince William County Schools. She's the Richmond chapter president of ACHIWSWA, a national organization for women supporting women, a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. She serves as the EAF captain for the Pi Rho Omega chapter. She is a rape survivor, a cancer conqueror, and her undergraduate degree is from Norfolk State University. Her master's is from Waldron University, and from July 2018, she'll be graduating from Waldron University with a doctorate in K-12 educational leadership. Speaking in faith and walking by faith, she uses her degree to obtain a what position?
I'm going to become a superintendent.
Yes, she is a superintendent, y'all. Y'all heard it first. Yes, my motto and her motto at the end of the day is all about the children. She lives to serve mankind. I took the time right now to really highlight Ms. Shonda, Dr. Rector, as well as Portia, to just say the type of talent that we have in Richmond and women right here is unstoppable. And I'm really honored to have you guys here. Not to mention, I got these ladies here at like last minute, y'all. So the loyalty of this group right here to know the importance of having this conversation, I also want to say a big thank you. So round of applause to everyone here. And as you guys know, I'm Chelsea Higgs-Wise here with Carol Olson.
Hello.
Hey. And we're your co-host with Women in Politics. So let's go ahead and get started.
Before we get started, I just know that I'm not speaking just on behalf of myself, but I think we all want to say, although you've taken the time to highlight us, we want to say thank you.
Absolutely.
And that's evidence of us being here because she was late.
And letting us
know and informing us. But the fact that, you know, we take this opportunity, and we have a platform that you've provided, that you've taken a champion for being a champion of women in Richmond in the community. We applaud you for understanding that this is important, that women come together from cross cultures, cross backgrounds, and stand together, because understanding that we are the catalyst of change for this nation, in this country, in this universe, for real. So
we snap you, Portia. Thank you, y'all. And truly, thank you to WRIR. This is WRIR's mission to really uplift voices. And I could go on, and if you follow me on social media, Chelsea Higgs Wise at everything, you will know that I often talk about this white woman co-host that I have, Carol Olson, who's just like the baddest at connecting people and giving and showing them a pathway to their gift. Mm-hmm. I would not be here without her. One day she was just like, hey, come on the show. You've got a voice. You would be great. And it's been amazing ever since. So
thank you.
All this representation. Yeah, go ahead, Carol.
I see where people need to be.
Yeah.
On the radio. You know, with net neutrality coming down, community radio is going to be really more important than ever, because it's going to be the free resource of communication to our communities. So
thank you all
for coming on and helping WRIR grow in this voice.
Thank you.
I love seeing women loving on women. This is beautiful.
Absolutely.
So let's just dive right on in. All of these women are specialists in education on different levels. And right now, I really just kind of want to ask these ladies, is there anything that pops into your mind in your experience working in education, navigating through policy as you serve your students? Anything that sticks out in your mind has been one of the biggest barriers of from a policy stance when you're trying to give a message or teach your students or even expose them to something?
You're listening to Women in Politics. I'm Carol Olson, and I co-host with Chelsea Higgs Wise. And today we're talking with a group of women spanning the education field. Dr. Amy Rector from VCU, Shonda Harris-Muhammad from Northside Coalition for Children, and Portia Foster, a special ed teacher and member of the Young Dems. Now we return to our discussion about education and equality.
Well, I'll go first, if that's okay, with my two sisters to my left.
Yes, Superintendent.
So, as the bio indicated, this is my 24th year in public education. And over 24 years, I have noticed, I do not accept, but I have noticed that when women are speaking towards policy changing for children or policy development for children, we are not as accepted at the table as a man is. And I have been in a variety of positions and roles. I've carried and wore many hats as an educator. And so if I am presenting a policy change or local district change that is going to benefit all children regardless of zip code, and other people have heard it, particularly men at the table, and if that policy is not accepted on that evening, we're going to review it, we're going to think about it the next week, a male has brought that same exact statement or policy that I just presented to the district or to the board previously, and it's the best thing since Cold Stone ice cream.
Hello.
And so I struggle with that.
Yeah.
Because it's what I just brought to you. It is to benefit all children, regardless of who they love, who they like, where they live, or socioeconomic status. But a male has brought you the same vision that I articulated out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to have one or two reads. Let's adopt it today.
So I want to jump in on that. So a really interesting story I heard about the Obama administration and the women that he has around her on the table. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but those same women used to say the same things, that the men would take their ideas and the next meeting it would be a run for it. So they strategically, what they would do is when a woman said an idea, another woman would say it and another woman would say it. They would literally go around the room and start doing it. President Obama said that he noticed it and asked them why. And they said it's because even at the table with the 44th president that we all love, their voices were still not being heard, and they had to be strategic and uplifting each other's voices to be heard. And so it's very interesting that I asked about a policy, and and Mishonda right here answered it really culturally. That was it wasn't even about the specific policy that was holding you back. It's the culture in this piece of that's the barrier for women and their voices. I'm going to move over to Amy. Amy, like we mentioned, teaches anthropology. Really quickly, could you tell us what in the world? What is anthropology?
Yes.
So okay. Wait a minute. So that means you have your own show?
Does that mean I have my own show? No.
So you don't dig up the bones?
I do dig up the bones.
Okay.
I will have a show though.
Bones. I get it. Yes, okay.
See bones. See, I helped you. Okay. Good.
I get it.
I know
okay.
some of those words.
Yeah. So anthropology generally is the study of humans, and we can study humans in a variety of different ways. The way I do it is I study human evolution and human variation. And other anthropologists study more sociocultural things or archaeology. And one of my favorite things to get to do at VCU is in the spring. So right now I'm teaching a big introduction to anthropology class, which means I cover all the ways we study humans. And we start out with things like human adaptation. So things like skin color are an adaptation to different levels of UV radiation and things like that. So as an anthropologist, I can stand up and say, you know, race as a biological concept isn't real. It's not supported by DNA or any biological things. But my responsibility also as an anthropologist is then to say, but are the consequences and are the cultural barriers created by racial categories, are those real? And the answer is, of course, they're real. Mm-hmm. And of course, people are influenced by these categories that humans have created for ourselves. So anthropology sits at this intersection between biology and culture that is like just so relevant to everything today. And you talking about Obama reminded me that when I first started teaching, I was teaching when Obama was the president. And so nothing I was saying felt like anything you know, that not everybody would be on board with, that, you know, we recognize and we appreciate variation in humans, and we recognize that statistics like people of color are shot more often by cops, that those things are data driven and they're real. And now with our change in presidency, suddenly these things that are inherently anthropological, like access to resources and access to healthcare, and things that as anthropologists we study and we see, and we see that Black women are 4 times more likely to die in childbirth. Mm-hmm. That's an anthropological topic. And now with our current administration, suddenly when I teach at a public university, I have to be careful that I'm not saying overtly political things in the classroom.
Wow.
And under Obama, these weren't overtly political things. Mm-hmm. And now they are. So I have to be cognizant of that and think about that as we're going over some of these topics.
That's really interesting. So you're talking about certain things are now politicized.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get back to that in just a second, but I want to go over to Portia and your experience. Well, first of all, did that kind of answer, were you able to answer the question about how policy works in your favor? Because you talked about anthropology. And first off, I just want to say, now I feel like I'm behind. I love the idea of the intersection of biology and
culture.
And culture.
Yeah. It's very powerful.
That is powerful, right?
Yeah. Like
that makes me feel like my lack of appreciation. I haven't appreciated anthropology like I needed to.
Well, what I tell my students on the first day is most of them are in my big intro class because it fills a gen ed requirement.
Yeah.
So they're there because they think they're going to get an A and like whatever, anthropology, right? And so I tell them there's going to be something throughout the course of the semester that they're going to be excited about and they're going to be interested in. And so this is what happens, is that we cover these topics that most of them have never even thought about or cared about. And by the end, everybody is like, all right, you know, at least that couple of weeks in anthropology, that was interesting. Maybe not all of it, but, you know, so yes, it's that intersection that I feel most strongly about.
Very cool. All right, Ms. Portia.
And so in speaking to that end, you said it was an elective, right?
It is an elective.
And it's an elective, so nothing that we have to force to do, but it has relevance to everything else. So one thing I want to ask, if you don't mind. So that whole NBC, they're anthropologists, they almost don't know you because their Nefertiti look like Queen Anne.
You're listening to Women in Politics. I'm Carol Olson, and I co-host with Chelsea Higgs Wise. And today we're talking with a group of women spanning the education field. Dr. Amy Rector from VCU, Shonda Harris-Muhammad from Northside Coalition for Children, and Portia Foster, a special ed teacher and member of the Young Dems. Now we return to our discussion about education and the need to be inclusive.
And the necessity that I have around my neck, on my arm.
Doesn't. Right.
And because I'm asking you the same question I did that got me kicked out of Catholic school at 5. How does the man with the blonde hair, like, be Jesus when they said that he had brown skin and hid him in Africa like me?
Just yesterday we went over how our species, modern humans, evolved in Africa, and then we expanded our range. We expanded our range to include Europe and Asia. And just to make sure everybody was on board and clear with what I was saying, those modern humans that evolved in Africa that then spread out and went over Europe and Asia, those were dark-skinned modern humans.
Oh, they were chocolate like I am.
They were chocolate like you are.
So the people on NBC made
they don't know.
So then he got his anthropology degree from Trump University. Anyway, so what,
you know what?
She said talking Trump about? anyway. So we talking about?
I'll go
about
get to know Portia. I know her very well.
And you know this man. Listen, so we were talking about policy to add all that together. There's a reason I asked about that because 24 years over here versus 2 years over here, I'm most definitely I'm not even a toddler. You know, I'm in the, you're not an infant, you're not quite a toddler, but you're just cute and learning stuff. That's the age where I am in terms of education. However, I feel like I've spent, you know, 10 years in education, with math, you know, going to JMU and my master's. But what I've learned on the other side, and my father being an educator, what I've learned on the other side is that when we talk about policy, we have to talk about actually keeping the children's best interests in mind and giving them choice and not force, right? And so what I include that anthropology piece because it's important to me that students understand that they understand why they're taking classes, what these classes mean, and so that you teach them so they have a broader understanding and that they be better people and function in society, not to pass a test. And so the state of Virginia with our SOLs, we teach our students to pass a test and not to be, not to pass a test and not to be lifelong learners and functioning in the community. You teach calculus. You do not teach taxes. You teach, you know what I'm saying? You teach algebra. You don't teach how to fill out a proper application. And so we're teaching our young students to be robots and to be under a system versus being entrepreneurs, being intelligent, being free thinkers, and understanding and even be interested in something like anthropology. And so, you know, as a special educator, you know, we emphasize on individualized education plans with all those legal documents. But in actuality, every student has a right for their education to be individualized and not to be taught a test. And to me, which is new age brainwashing. Mm-hmm. And so you have, because depending on your zip code and your socioeconomic status, your standard of learning is indeed different.
Yes.
And so that's what I've noticed in my infancy on the other side of education.
So Portia talked about brainwashing. Mm-hmm. Amy talked about ideas being politicized based on where we are now. So Shonda, I'm going to kind of start, and I'll open this up to everyone, anyone to join in. This is going to air not even a week after Richmond has something called a bootleggers ball. Mm-hmm. And this ball has created a little bit of controversy because of the shootings that's been going on. And Portia, does anyone know how many school shootings there have been this year?
In 2018, or the school calendar year.
Do you have information?
Just 2018. From our research, and of course, every time there's a school shooting across the country, educators go through this mandatory meeting with either their district superintendent or district leaders to talk about the steps of how to protect the school. And so at our last meeting, it was already 5.
Okay.
That had gone about, right, you know, right. And when I say 5, that doesn't necessarily, let me explain what I mean. It could have been, sometimes data in local school districts include when there's a shooting in the vicinity of a school. Sometimes they include that as a school shooting. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have to be really clear on the definition, the clear definition and ramification of a school
shooting.
And it's really interesting because local media around here has actually been trying to reframe that to school attack. But the point is that there have been across the country numerous amount of school shootings this year. And so, as we know, students are rallying from their own voices to ask for gun control. And why this is an interesting to Richmond is because of this bootleggers ball that kind of asks a question to our city of what type of responsibility we have when we're talking about the messaging of guns. Of because right now our president, unfortunately, he is our president, is now even suggesting of arming our teachers. Mm-hmm. And so these are the different messaging. This is the messaging that we're sending. This is the brainwashing. This is what's happening in our political world. Guns are being politicized. With that going on, let me just tell you a little bit about this bootleggers ball that's going on in Richmond and will have just passed this past Saturday being held at Vagabond. It's been going on for a couple years, but what happens is one of the owners is also owns the EDC Tactical that was sponsoring the event for the Bootleggers Ball. We know this, and we know that Style published that they were actually going to even raffle off an AR-15 as a prize. They claim that this wasn't true, but Style posted it, published it. There are screenshots. We see that this is going on. They have it's a big picture of the gun. They claim this wasn't true. Nevertheless, the auction isn't going to go through. And from here on, they are not sponsoring the event. The auction went down after the school shooting in Florida. So that's when that was the trigger to take that down. Right. And then local media around here, shout out RVA Mag, started poking around a little bit. And now that tactical arms dealer is not affiliated with this event.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Women in Politics. I'm Carol Olson, and I co-host with Chelsea Higgs Wise. And today we're talking with a group of women spanning the education field. Dr. Amy Rector from VCU, Shonda Harris-Muhammad from Northside Coalition for Children, and Portia Foster, a special ed teacher and member of the Young Dems. Now we return to our discussion about education and guns.
How do you all feel as educators knowing that the gun conversation is around protection? Right now we're talking in the public arena, K-12. We know Virginia Tech right here and the college campuses and the safety there. At a local level, talking about things like the bootleggers ball, do we have a responsibility to call out how our vendors, our social influencers are interacting with arms dealers?
I will say emphatically yes.
Okay.
If we have the responsibility, we like to say cute phrases, as I did with my new little friend, Alexis here, Amy's daughter. We know that our children are the future. We like to coin these phrases that, oh, we love our children, the children of the future. We always want to, you know, speak and be, oh, that's so great, you know, support things. But when it comes down to it, we have to understand and take a stand. And so when you have community leaders and people who are very vocal in the community sponsoring something or being a part of something like this at this time period, at what end do we not say no? What end do we not say no? And not just with that, we most definitely have a responsibility to stand up and change the narrative. The fact that just because we change numbers from 44 to 45, y'all might, I'm still in 2016. I knock my head down. You ask me my president. You already know the answer. But in actuality, you know, things are what they are. And so just because someone sits in that seat does not mean that now all of a sudden our children are less valuable. And as a person in the classroom and as a special educator, so now the narrative changes from, oh, somebody came in and we had a shooting from the outside, to one of our special babies got access to a weapon that was supposed to be to protect them. Mm. How about that's not the answer. The answer is within legislation.
Right.
The answer is, why would anybody need a DAG on AR-15? And why was that appropriate for an auction item? And then when was he a part of the candle industry? Because we have visuals every other day.
Right.
So it shouldn't be this shooting. any other country around the world, we're the only ones that goes through this. This isn't the first shooting.
Right.
What happened with Sandy Hook? Mm. It should have gone a long time ago. This isn't the first time this has happened. This isn't the first. It is not. We're not talking about impaling anybody's inalienable rights. I understand we all have rights, but what about the rights of the parents?
Thank you so much for that, Portia, because it is really interesting that this is coming about now, mm-hmm. and the change in the culture has changed. So you're saying that locally, even our influence, it's not just the legislators, it's the influencers, our restaurants, our folks to all have a voice in that. Is that what you're saying?
Especially because it's grassroots. It starts from, if leadership's supposed to be top down, but morally, at this point, we have to be bottom up.
Ooh, because trickle down does not work. It has to come from down up. So we know trickle doesn't work. Okay, Amy, what do you think?
Well, I would say, you know, as you said, this is time after time we have these shootings in schools. And you hear the classic time after time, the thoughts and prayers. And now we have this group of 17-year-old and 16-year-old and 18-year-old kids who are brave enough to say the things that they're saying and stand up the way that they're saying about this particular issue. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, they're getting attention about this particular issue. So the idea that not even a week later, there would be this advertisement that this same type of weapon would be a prize, that would be the fun thing that you could take home from this party that you mm-hmm. went to. It's just, yes, I think that as members of local communities, you know, we are the people who vote ultimately for those leadership mm-hmm. roles, who have this potential top down and make these decisions about legislation. Even if it doesn't really feel like you're doing much by saying, you know what, I bought tickets to that ball and now I want my money back because mm-hmm. I don't want to go anymore. If what you're going to do and the platform that we're standing on is one where we think an AR-15 is something for fun, is a party prize. Mm-hmm. I think every single one of those moments and those decisions can lead towards and help support this broader cultural watershed moment that hopefully we are having now. I mean, it's got to happen sometime because we can't, like Sandy Hook, like all of these, mm-hmm. our kids cannot keep going to school and getting shot. We can, back to your question, we can, as just sort of local people doing local fun things, mm-hmm. have an influence, and we do have a responsibility, I think.
I like that small piece of just going and asking for a refund by saying I don't Absolutely. Stand for what this is, yeah. what the messages you're saying.
Okay. This wraps up part one of Women in Politics, produced in the studios of WRIR LP 97.3 FM. Join Carol and I next week at noon. See you next week.